Brothers and sisters, our scripture reading this morning begins with Genesis 1, the verses 26 through 31. Genesis 1, verse 26 to the end of the chapter. We read here God's word. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We turn now to 1 Timothy 4. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wise fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So far the reading of God's word. Our text is 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, imagine your child or grandchild on their tricycle, in the front drive or sidewalk, would you say to this child, your bike is holy? Is a bike holy? God is holy. His word is holy. His church is holy. But is a bike holy? For that matter, is my mobile phone holy? Are the crops that have been harvested holy? Is my job holy? Is the kiss between a husband and wife holy? It all depends. Might be, might not be. Tricycle might be holy, it might not be holy. The crops might be holy, they might not. Our text is very clear about that when it says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. The word sanctified literally means to be holy. Whatever God creates is good. And of course it's good. God is good. What he makes is good. But it's holy when we receive it in thanksgiving with the word and with prayer. God gives us things. He gives our child a bike. God gives us our crops. He gives us our labor. He gives us marriage. When we receive that in thanksgiving and when we acknowledge it's from God, we receive it as we hear his word and we pray about it, then these things are special. They are holy. They bring us closer to our God. I would love to say to my grandchild, your bike is holy. Because then that opens the conversation. Grandpa, how's my bike holy? Well, God gave it to you. That's a gift from your Creator. And be thankful for it. And praise him for it. And even a bicycle can become a beautiful thing between a child and his God. We'll look at this more closely this morning under this theme. Everything God created is good. We'll see that nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. It's clear from the first three verses of 1 Timothy 4 that there's some bad stuff happening in the church where Timothy is serving. This is the church at Ephesus. And Paul had already warned in Acts 20, verse 29, when he spoke with the Ephesian elders, he warned them, strange wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. But Paul's warning had come true. We read here in verse 1, which speaks about those giving heed to deceitful spirits and doctrines of men. Then verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy. This is what they taught. We read in verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods. So there were people in the congregation that said marriage is sin. It's evil. Food is in itself evil. It is sin. You shouldn't marry. You shouldn't be eating. Now, who comes up with this stuff? We know, of course, that the Jews were really liable and open to legalism. We think of the scribes and Pharisees who came up with all kinds of laws that had no heart, no soul, and often contradicted the law of God. But they said, we need these laws because if you keep them, you earn your salvation. And the Jews seemed to buy into that, even though they didn't want to. And that also opened them up to other legalistic thinking and philosophies. And one is asceticism. Asceticism basically says everything material is evil. Everything material is evil. You should eat very little. You should have the poorest clothes that you can buy, even if you're cold. Don't live in a house. Live in a cave. They said everything material is evil. And the day that you die, you'll be free. Because you leave your body, you leave this material world, and your spirit, your soul will go to God. And that is your salvation. And so you understand that the Jews were somewhat open to this way of thinking. It's a law by which you earn your salvation. So they started to teach marriage is bad. Don't get married. Food is bad. You know, eat just enough to stay alive, but don't enjoy your food. It's evil. Now, before we write this off as a nutcase, people who can't even think straight, we have to ask ourselves, are we at all open to that kind of teaching in our time? I certainly know as a kid, there were some people who thought a little bit this way. I'm also from the time of the hippie generation in North America, and that was a culture that said material things are evil. We should shun material things. But by today, the pendulum has swung in the opposite direction. Instead of asceticism, we have materialism, consumerism. Instead of ascetics who said material things are bad, we have become a culture where material things are good. They're great. They're what makes you happy. It shows whether you're successful or not, whether you're somebody or not. Asceticism said there is no God in material things, but materialism says things are our God. Both are crazy. Horrible way of thinking. And it's so beautiful that the Apostle Paul here in our text gets a proper look again at material things, how they function in our lives. And this is valuable for us today because this is our day of thanksgiving for harvest and labor and future planting. Going back to our text, we see that the verse before our text frames the whole point, frames the problem by speaking about those who are forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now, in verse 4, Paul clarifies, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving." There's one technical point here. Our text speaks about every creature of God, and we might think that applies only to living creatures. It doesn't. Literally, Paul says, everything God created is good. And that includes the bike. It includes food. It includes crops and harvest. You know, if you go back to Genesis 1, every time God created something on a particular day, we read, and God saw that it was good. Food was good. Trees were good. Sun was good. It was all good. And when it says it is good, it means that, and this is a good God, it's perfect. It simply couldn't be better. So Adam and Eve lived in a beautiful, perfect world where they could enjoy everything. They enjoyed each other as husband and wife. There was beautiful water to drink. There was all kinds of fruit to eat. And there were new and amazing places to discover. Everything God created is good. And it's holy, it's special, it reaches its intended purpose when you receive it in thanksgiving. It is consecrated, it's holy, because of the Word of God and through prayer. Now, of course, paradise was simple and very simple. You know, you had trees, you had animals, you had fruit and water and marriage. There's no mobile phones. There were no orbiting satellites. There was no internet. And even if you fast forward to our text in 1 Timothy 4, Paul talks about stuff like marriage and food. And this is what we have to be thankful for, Paul says. But do I have to be thankful for my mobile phone? Do I have to be thankful for satellites orbiting in the sky? Do I have to be thankful for this monster tractor that's pulling harvesting equipment through the fields? Do I have to be thankful for medicine? I mean, that wasn't their paradise. God didn't create it, right? Are we sure about that? God created the mobile phone, and he did that in the first 6 days. You know why? Because all the material was there, the physics was there, the math was there, the technology was all laid out. It was all there in God's creation. But it was ours to discover and uncover. There's a reason that God said to Adam and Eve to tend and keep the garden. They were to discover its endless possibilities. God creates out of nothing. Man doesn't create stuff. Man discovers all that God has created. And indeed, today we are still discovering the amazing things that God designed beautifully and holy and good in his creation. We have discovered electricity, the internet, radiation and chemotherapy for cancer patients, the combustion engine by which we have our tractors to have our crops. These are all things that are from God and to be received with thanksgiving if they are indeed to be a blessing for us. The tragedy is that in the very beginning, Adam and Eve were not thankful. Everything's good, says Paul, if it's received in thanksgiving. Adam and Eve didn't do that. They took the very thing that they were not supposed to touch, and that's the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And at that moment, everything broke down. As God says, now you have weeds, you have disease, you have sweat, and you have death itself. The book of Ecclesiastes calls this a vanity of vanities. And Paul writes in Romans 8, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Everything that God created was good, but now it turned on us. That sun, so important for life, for photosynthesis, now gives us skin cancer. Microorganisms, fungi, that sort of thing creates horrible diseases. Bacteria, which gives us yogurt, also gives us anthrax, a deadly killer. And our beautiful bodies that God created to be healthy, to be enjoyed for eternity, now started to develop cancer and heart disease, MS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and so on. Because Adam and Eve were not thankful to God and they did not acknowledge him as creator, the world crumbled and has turned on us. It was supposed to be received in thanksgiving, and that did not happen. But thankfully, that's not the end of it, because the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, God said, I will send a Savior. And that Savior is his own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That Savior will not only pay for our sins, he'll crush the power of Satan and make it possible to live again in God's good creation. We cannot imagine what suffering it must have brought to the Father to send his Son into the world. Can't imagine what our Lord Jesus Christ must have gone through. He created this world. We read that in John 1, verse 1. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, created this world. He made it so incredibly beautiful. He gave us everything. We broke it. We shattered it. And he took it all on himself. The creator of this world, the upholder of this world, had all the diseases, the sins, the evils of the world heaped on him. And he paid for that on the cross of Golgotha. And not only to wash away our sins and to free us from the power of Satan, but to allow us to once again live in a world where we see that God is good. And he gives us so many blessings, which we need to receive in thanksgiving so that it enhances our relationship with God and draws us nearer to him. And that doesn't say that in this world there'll never be problems. There will still be cancer. There will still be heart attacks. There will still be diseases and anger and hostilities and persecution in the world. But we know these things don't happen by chance. They don't happen because God's not there. He walks with us. He cares for us. As we will sing later in the service from Habakkuk 3, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. And indeed, brothers and sisters, even in the brokenness of life, and we certainly heard last Friday evening with ARPA how broken our world is, we still see how many good things that God gives to us. We've had a remarkable harvest, crops here in Australia. Things are looking good. Plans underway for new planting. In the congregation, we have our jobs, our careers, make enough money to care for our family, for the needy, and for kingdom causes. Our children and young people, they are getting their education. Some are in apprenticeships. We're looking forward to careers where we may have meaningful lives that we enjoy here in God's creation. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't say to us, I saved you, now hang in there until the bitter end, and then it's going to be good. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, every morning I make the sun shine for you. I give you your marriages. I give you your jobs. I give the crops. Enjoy it here in this world, broken as it is. We hear Paul's beautiful pronouncement in Ephesians 5 about marriage. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Get married, says Paul. It's fantastic. It's good. It's a reflection of Christ and his church. Again, he writes in 1 Corinthians 10, eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord and all its fullness. The earth is the Lord and all its fullness. Enjoy your marriage. Enjoy your food and drink. Enjoy the crop. It is good and is to be received in thanksgiving from God. And that's indeed the point here, brothers and sisters. We saw that with Adam and Eve in paradise. Everything is good. Everything is to be enjoyed if it is received in thanksgiving. It is received with thanksgiving. And that doesn't mean just mean that we give our first fruits to the church, although that's indeed an important part of it. But thanksgiving is something that fills our lives, our way of thinking, our attitudes, that in every aspect of life, during the course of every day, we are deeply conscious that this is God's world. It's redeemed in Jesus Christ. And everything I have is a gift from him, and that we have thankfulness for it. You know, if you're finishing high school or college or your apprenticeship, you're here, a young person, a young man or woman, we need to do that with thankfulness that God has given us a mind, an education. We're now able to use our talents and our gifts in his service. There's a deep awareness, a thankfulness to God for this. As a congregation, as two congregations in this area, we're embarking on a retirement village. We should do that with thankfulness that there are people willing to organize this, people who give their money, and we're living in a country that still allows it. And when our crops are harvested, we shouldn't just talk about, well, did we have enough rain? Was it too dry? What about the pests? That harvest is from God. He gave us enough rain and enough sunshine to make those crops grow, and now we can eat and drink. Our lives need always to be conscious that this is God's world. It's redeemed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be grateful in every aspect of life. Then we are not materialists. We're not consumerists, where stuff becomes our God. God is our God. And the stuff are the things that he gives to us for our lives here on earth. Now, at this point, you might think, well, we got to be finished because what more are you going to say? But first, verse 5 does add something important. It starts off with that powerful word, for, which in Greek can also be translated as because. Everything is good if it's received with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Literally, Paul is saying it is holy because of the word of God and prayer. Remember, we were talking about a child's bike at the beginning of the sermon, and we asked the question, is that bike holy? It all depends. It's holy, it's consecrated by the word of God and by prayer. That means that a child's bike is holy. Even our two-year-old, three-year-old children, and I've had children, I've got grandchildren, I've met little children that age in this congregation, and the awareness that they have about things like a bike, about Sunday worship, about reading and praying at home. A two-year-old, a three-year-old can be well aware that that bike is a gift from God. And if a child rides that bike, acknowledging that this is God's gift, it's his blessing, maybe even mentions it in prayer, then indeed that bike is holy and will bring that child closer and closer to the Lord. If there are any ascetics here, you'd probably be hopping up and down, steaming mad that I would say a bike is holy. I don't care. Jump all you want. Because I'm also going to say marriage is holy. And crops are holy. And a job is holy. And the kiss between husband and wife is holy if it's received with thanksgiving and made holy through the word of God and prayer. We've already seen how God makes things holy through his word. He said his word to Adam and Eve in paradise. Here's your world. Discover it and enjoy it. And Paul, too, he gives the word in 1 Timothy 4, marriage and food is good, but it's also consecrated through prayer. And we confess in Lord's Day 25 that prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. In other words, brothers and sisters, there's no sweeter way, there's no better way than showing thankfulness to God, but in prayer. In prayer, you are on your knees before God. You make clear to him how much you love him, adore him, how awesome he is, and you say to him, I know you made this. I know you made this possible through the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. We think of when we sit as a family or a couple or even an individual at the dinner table and there's abundant food and drink. What an opportunity to pray to God. That's why Christians have that custom of praying at the mealtime. What an opportunity to thank God and ask him for his blessing on this food that he has provided for us. And then also to read his word, which makes so clear to us who our God is and what he has all given to us in Jesus Christ. The question is, brothers and sisters, is that our life? I mean, are we praying at the dinner table? Are we praying more often in our lives, thanking God for all that he has given to us? How about the farmer who gets up early in the morning? He's going to head out to his tractor and plow that field or disc it or whatever he does all day long and harvest it. What about before he gets in the tractor, or maybe just when he gets in his tractor, some time for prayer, to thank God for this new day, to thank God for the tractor, for the fields, for the ripening grain, for the harvest that is there. The farmer who starts his day off with that kind of prayer, the whole day as he's working, he's got this awareness and this consciousness of how good God is to him and how thankful he is to God for all that he has provided. It creates an unbelievable relationship between that farmer and his God. Same thing with a traveling salesman or saleswoman. You're going to hit the road in the car or get on a plane. What about before you take off, time for prayer, asking for traveling mercy, asking for a good day in work? Well, as they're driving through busy traffic, when they're in that meeting making their sales pitch, there's an awareness God is with them. God is making this possible, and we are thankful to him. And what about my two-year-old riding his or her bike? Before child headed out and said a little prayer, says, God, thank you for my bike. And that child is riding around for an hour, singing, smile on her face, but knowing this is from God. That child's biking with God. That child knows that God is good. There's a whole life before that child of getting to know more and more just how amazing and how good God is. And that child walks with God. You know, our text can sound really quite simple, and it is. But it's also basic. And when anything's basic, we're talking about the fundamental truths of life. And the truth is, everything God created is good. And we've established that includes even modern technology. It includes the crops that we just had. Everything God created is good. But you will know it's good when you thank him for it. And it's holy. It draws you in a closer relationship with God when you're reading his word and we are praying to him. And then, brothers and sisters, even in this broken world, we can live such beautiful, enjoyable, good lives. And we await the day that our Lord Jesus Christ returns, and he'll put an end to all disease. There'll be no more cancer or hospitals or prisons or armies or hatred. He will wipe away the tears from our eyes and bring us into a new and perfect world where everything is good and everything is to be enjoyed to the praise and the glory of God. Amen.